There we go. Up and running. Here we go. Right. Welcome to the 12 Man Podcast, live on Facebook, YouTube, the Red. Yeah, you play around with that camera. Yeah, and everything else, all our platforms. You know, thank you for joining us. Thank you for popping on. Got a lot of people popping on already. So I'll say a good evening to you. How are you doing?
Evening. Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah.
Good. I'm Steve Jackson, I'm the main man in the chair, as usual. You can't see me, but I am. I got Mr. John Cutler with me. Evening.
Evening again.
Again.
That's twice, yeah.
I know.
It's going to be a fun podcast, isn't it?
It is, of course it is. I've got to make it cheerful now, because it's not going to be cheerful in the next 45 minutes or so, is it? And the two gentlemen looking at me. Got Mr. Steve Dixon with us. Evening, Dicko.
Evening, everyone. How are we? Okay.
Yeah, we're good, we're good.
Yeah, all good.
We're all good, mate. The main man himself, the Don, Mr. John Donovan. Evening.
Now then, you're right.
I am, mate, I am.
That's some introduction, isn't it?
And joins just in time. Here he is. Artist extraordinaire, entrepreneur, legend, Grinster Graham Bandair is back with us. Evening, Bandy.
His intros get better, mate. Evening. Evening, lads, you all right?
Evening, Bandy.
All good, yeah. Thank you.
We're all good. We're all good. So, yes, we're going to talk. We're going to talk stalk because we really have to, apparently. So I'm looking forward to that. So we're going to dissect stalk. What really went wrong? how long you got? So we'll go through that, and then we've got two games to preview. We've got Norwich on Wednesday night, and we've got QPR on Saturday. Yes. I know it's going to be a bad one. It's going to be a bad one. So let's get stuck in. I won't start with you because you didn't watch it, did you?
No, luckily I was at work, so yeah, I didn't get to see it.
Luckily,
I've heard plenty about it. I've seen the goals and a few little bits, and
it weren't great at all.
I'm sure we can all vent our spleen, can't we?
Yeah, it wasn't great, but you know, hey ho. I'll start with you, John Don. Obviously made our way down to Staffordshire, 2 o'clock game, team came out. I was quite happy to see Senny at the top of it. I was very happy to see Senny at the top of it. But we all screamed for a back five. We all said a back five works, and that's where our success has come this season, from a back five. Were you surprised still to see the back four, or did you think that was going to come anyway?
Well, yeah, I was a little bit surprised to see the back four, but it was personnel. I would have kept McNair in there, to be fair. McNair with Rav. He made some more changes. I'm pleased Senny come in. I would have kept his ass in the team. I'd put him ahead of Greenwood. And I was glad to see Lad Ailath there making a start. Yeah. So I thought the team wasn't too bad. There was like a couple of players I would have liked to see in, but I thought the team wasn't too bad.
No, it was good to see a striker. Like I'm completely agreeing with you there. It was good to see a striker on the pitch, bit of a focal point. There's a couple of changes that I made. What before I go on to the rest, John Dog, what did you make about Vandenberg being made captain?
Yeah, strange move. I can't really see the thinking behind it, but he hasn't been our worst player by any stretch of the imagination. If Carrick thought that, you know, that he would carry the mantle and push his forward and try and change things, then fair enough. But you know, he does enough talking when he's not wearing the armband. For a 19-year-old lad, he's very confident. He's very vocal. So giving him it was a bit of a surprise, but fair enough. It's okay by me.
Okay, no problem. Diggle, what do you make of the team? I'm going to take cover here.
Cause right,
he's leant forward and everything. I'm going to take cover.
Listen, personnel is one thing, but the main thing was, I think, Michael Carrick, I said last week, you know, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, is the definition of insanity. And that's what he's been doing since January, Michael Carrick. And I was absolutely flabbergasted to see we start with a back four again. Personnel, I agree with John Don. I don't understand why McNair, in the current circumstances with his experience, and he's probably one of the few leaders we've got that will put his foot in and, you know, put a tackle in, how McNair doesn't make that starting 11. Michael Carrick had to go the back five. He had to on Saturday. We're going to Stoke. You know what it's like down there. They had the rallying cry before the game. Stoke, we're going to have a little bit of a pop up. We had to go there with a formation in a team that we're going to have to be prepared to roll the sleeves up and graft for the supporters that made the trip down. Put some tackles in and stamp your authority on the game. And all of that didn't happen. In fact, it was the opposite. Fullback situation. We've spoke about it on here. Luke Ayling came from Leeds. Luke Thomas has come from Leicester. I had reasonably high hopes for Luke Thomas going on what I used to watch him about a year and a half ago. Wow. What's happened to Luke Thomas? I don't know what's happened to him. He's took massive backward steps, and obviously that's the reason why Leicester are happy to let him go. Luke Ayling has been a good professional, been a good player. He's finished. His legs have gone. And let's be honest, there's a reason why Leeds have let him go and Leicester have let Luke Thomas go. So there's got to be question marks about Middlesbrough's recruitment, bringing those two to the football club for me. We've got two better fullbacks, in my opinion, at the club in Dijksdale and Engel, who both should have started on Saturday and should be starting on Wednesday. Agree with John Don. We've got the Zaz. We need to, from now to the end of the season, we've brought him in for £2 million. He needs to play, certainly ahead of Greenwood, another loan player that's flattered to deceive. And I'm going to have to give John Don some credit, because a while back on here, we were asked whether we should sign Greenwood after a little spell of form where he scored a couple of good goals against Sunderland and Leicester. And I think the majority of them were thought for £1 million, that would be good business. John Don said, leave it till the end of the season, let's see how it pans out. And again, like Luke Ayling, like Luke Thomas, there's a reason why he's come to Middlesbrough. Because he's not good enough to be the required standard to get promotion. I don't think any of our loan players have covered themselves in any glory, and I include O'Brien in that. O'Brien's come from Notts Forest. He was a good player at Huddersfield, again, a while back. But for me, O'Brien's, other than a decent performance away at Leicester, has showed very, very little of the O'Brien that I thought we were getting in the summer. And for me, I'll be happy for all the loan players we brought to the club to disappear in the summer and not come back. Saturday was bereft of everything I want in a Middlesbrough team. It was bereft of leaders. It was bereft of quality, pace, just everything. It was such a weak, poor performance. I've come on here now for weeks saying Bristol City, worst performance of the season. Now Plymouth, worst performance of the season. How long is this going to continue? Every week it's getting worse. The performances are getting worse. The players' performances are getting worse. And something needs to happen very, very quickly. I personally don't think we're in a relegation battle just yet. But if we don't book our ideas up and find some leadership qualities both on and off the pitch, we're going to be in one. So it's a huge wake-up call, I hope, to Michael Carrick, that he needs to do something, not just with his tactics, but with his players.
I mean, I'm not going to ask the question about relegation fight this week. I wasn't going to ask it at all. I'm going to keep that for next week, because I feel that this coming week's a big one now. I can't disagree with anything he said there. The only thing I disagree with, I wouldn't wait till the end of the season to send them all back. I'd tell them go now. They're not needed. They're not required. I wouldn't focus on them because we need to be putting players that are our own. If they're not good enough to be, I'm just not a fan of them. I'm really not now. Bandy, what did you make of the team?
Disappointed yet again, because I've been banging on like a stuck record about this back three. I think personally it's the only system that suits the personnel that we've got. This ideology that Carrick's trying to deliver, it's not realistic. We don't have the personnel or the finesse in any of the players to play that beautiful way that we played so well last season. We had far superior players last season, and I think he's looked at that and thought, well, that's the system that works, but it's fine. It worked a treat last season. It was fantastic. But we don't have them goals. We don't have a Ryan Giles pushing high up the pitch as a supply line. We've got nothing at the moment. It's just flat. It's dull. It's horrible to watch. Saturday's performance was absolutely disgusting. Like Dicko said, we'll have to do a little bit better next game. The games are getting progressively worse. We're looking more lethargic. We're looking more or less interested. And worryingly, even Carrick himself is looking more less interested. I genuinely don't think he knows what to do at the moment with the predicament he finds himself in, whether it be injuries, which for me has been an overly used excuse now, because we do have good players back. That team, which, albeit it was the 4-2-3-1, which I'm not a fan of, there was enough quality in that team with the right aptitude and attitude to take Stoke apart. Honestly, they had one or two half-decent players, yet we made their team look like Real Madrid. We allowed them the ball. Again, there's massive gaps in midfield. Players just running through. I've lost times, number this season, where players are free 20, 25 yards from goal and they're able to shoot without anybody closing players down. It's a little bit like Chuckle Brothers football to me, to you. You go out to him, I'm staying here. No, you go out to him. There's no decision makers, there's no leaders. There's no sort of Roy Keane type characters that will get out there and go and smash somebody. We're not seeing it. Tick the book in if you have to. Again, I keep repeating myself about the same issues, and they don't seem to be becoming eradicated. It's very worrying. Definitely looking over the shoulder time now, because with maybe three or four games to go, we could really find ourselves desperately scrambling for points and hoping, you know, relying on other results going for us. And it should never have got to this stage. We should realistically be 8th, 9th right now, pushing on for playoffs. But for some reason, the players just seem to have completely down tools. And Carrick sort of stood there, rubbing his beard, looking for ideas. Alarmingly, he turns round for help, and I don't see any help. I just think he needs possibly a shoulder to cry on at the moment. I generally don't know where we go. I can't see another win. I predicted a draw against Blackburn in about 5 games' time. That's it. And that's me being optimistic. Generally, I try to be realistic, but bordering on, you know, optimism, because I do think we have capable players. But at the moment, nothing. Even the star performers aren't performing, because I think they're a little bit peed off with the whole rotation thing. There's never a settled team. And like I said, back to my original point, we only look settled and comfortable with a back three, pushing wing-backs on, whether it be Ayling, whether it be Dykstra, whether it be Jones when he's fit. Obviously, when he's fit, he's going to walk straight back into the team. By God, we've missed him. We really have. With this injury, he seems to have had this injury for like 7-8 games now. Are we going to see him again? Again, another injury that just has players out for far too long. So the whole season's just gone down the pan. I likened it to that bloody Willy Wonka experience in Glasgow, and that's the way it's gone. Shambles, absolute crap. And I just hope we can just salvage something in the next few games just to keep us buoyant.
Can you remember, you know, just only a few short weeks ago, we took the lead in a cup semi-final to Chelsea. Yep, we got dismantled there. But everything seemed to be on the up there. You know, we'd beaten Millwall. We were doing okay. But the decline in performances has been quite alarming and worrying. We haven't barring that Chelsea game, we haven't kept a clean sheet this year. Barring the Chelsea win 1-0, we haven't kept a clean sheet, and that's where we must start on Wednesday. We've got to keep a clean sheet. I know we're at home, but to be honest, our confidence is low. I feel a little bit sorry. I know Dicko mentioned about Lewis O'Brien, but he come back from an injury into a team that that was low on confidence, and it hasn't worked for him. But you know, there's
I think he's a player, John. He's a player, by the way. I like him.
Yeah, I do. But like I say, Dicko's right. He's not performing at the moment, as are the majority of the team. The decline in our level of performance has been really, really worrying.
Mm. So I feel like we're almost masking into the period when we had Jonathan Woodgate and Michael Carrick starting to morph into Jonathan Woodgate, and the fact that he's delusional. He thinks his way of playing like Woodgate is the way to go. This attacking football in formation. And Woodgate had to be saved from himself. The league was lying. We're going to be okay. And he had to be saved from himself. Now, what I found was quite alarming was I found out today the points total we've got at the moment after 34 games is the lowest we've had in 10 years in the Championship, apart from the Woodgate season. So other than the Jonathan Woodgate season, where this is the worst season. Since the turn of the year in January, only Rotherham have taken less points in Middlesbrough. We've taken 8 from 27. And only Rotherham have taken less, yet Rotherham still took 4 points from us. Now, those statistics are damning in the telling. In people at the club, and when I say people at the club, I mean Michael Carrick and Jonathan Woodgate, who are the two that can do something about the playing side of it, need to wake up. Woodgate's been through this before, and he got sacked for being bloody-minded and wanting to keep it going his own way. Michael Carrick's doing the same. You would think Jonathan Woodgate would be saying, listen, we need to change this up, stay in this division, get some wins on the board, get a few wins, a few points. Doesn't matter if we're entertaining, the fans will take a 1-0 win. Let's settle everything down, and then next season we can regroup, bring some new players into the club, and go back to playing the attacking football, hopefully with better players that the fans really enjoyed last season, because I'm sure Gibbo is going to back away in the summer. But at the moment, it's like, it's almost like Michael Carrick can't see it, or there's something in he's got to do it his way. Well, if he continues down that road, Michael Carrick won't be here next season, because we will get dragged into a relegation zone eventually if we continue to play. Things have got to change. We've got some good players to come back, like Bandy said, in Isaiah Jones, and obviously he walked straight back in the team. But at the moment, some of those players are so far off it. I remember a few weeks ago, I come out and I said the players weren't trying, they weren't giving 100%, and John Don shot us down. And I sort of agreed with him and sort of rephrased what I had said. But I don't think some of those players were trying on Saturday. I thought there were levels below. The body language was poor. It was poor before the game. When you see them walking the dressing room, they look. Did you see the video on Middlesbrough's Twitter feed showing the players walking into the ground into the stadium? They looked like they were going to the gallows. Not going to play a game of football.
Turns out they were.
Yeah. It's like, come on, lads, you're so in a great position. Millions of people would have to be in your position. You should be really enjoying wanting to do what you do. Go out there and express yourself and enjoy yourself. You know, everything just looks really like it's an expression from the past, like they're on the beach. Well, you can't be on the beach with 12 games to go.
Well,
the spirit's not good in the camp.
If that is the case, then
I don't think players are comfortable playing in the positions they're playing in.
If that is the case, and the players aren't trying on the pitch, that only ends one way. I'm not saying they didn't try on the pitch, but if they're not trying on the pitch, it only ends one way. And whether I want it or not, it'll end with the manager going if the players aren't doing it, because it's all player power now. Managers don't have the power. And I'd hate to see that happening.
If you look at our successful results in the last, well, since January, the Chelsea game, 1-0 win, 3 at the back. Leicester game at home, 1-0 win, 3 at the back. Villa, we ran them very close, albeit they got a fluky own goal at the end. We didn't look like conceding, to be honest. So Leicester away, conceded 1. Every performance that I've mentioned there, every player put a shift in. They look comfortable. They look happy. You could see them rejoicing at the end. They've got a brilliant result. And then when you go back to the default, 4-2-3-1, asking Ballhazard to drop in and take the ball 6 yards from the keeper, it's chaos. Nobody seems to know where they're playing. Riley's on the left. Then he's on the right. Then he's a 10. Then he's up front with a Zaz. I mean, what's that about? Players must be getting paid off thinking, they'll be joking amongst themselves, I wonder where I'm going to be playing this week. You know, O'Brien, he's been a left-back, he's been a CDM, he's been centre-mid, he's been left-wing. There's just no cohesion, and players do get annoyed with that. They want to just be told the basics. You're playing right-back, I want you to push up, bomb on, drop in. Simple stuff. I think Carrick's just trying to overcomplicate things at the moment, and he doesn't really need to. As he sat the players down and said, where are you comfortable playing? Ballhazard, do you really like dropping so deep to take the ball? Is that Carrick's decision or is that Ballhazard's decision? Because if you're him, I'd be saying, if I was the keeper, I'd be saying, get out of here now, get away from me. The centre-back should be saying the same thing. You're treading on my toes, move, get out, let me play the ball out. Which is just
Bandy,
chaotic, it's confusing.
Bandy, I watched the Manchester derby yesterday. And yeah, you're talking about top quality players. Man City, best team in Europe. And they weren't always playing it from the back. If Edison thought there wasn't anything on, he knocked it long. And that's something that we don't do. You know, we've got to sort of like just change it. If it's not on, then okay, launch it long. I said this last week and I'll say it again. I don't mind if we lose ownership of the ball in the other team's half, but to lose it in or around your 18-yard box, it's criminal. And we got away with it again a couple of times on Saturday. But it's just so frustrating because, you know, and I sometimes think the boos that we heard at the Plymouth game, I don't think it was. It probably, part of it was for the performance and the fact that we were 2-0 down. But it was sheer frustration of we seeing the same thing over and over again and nothing's being changed. You know, we're frustrated. Right, we're telling you we don't want to do that, especially when Barlasa likes to take a touch and by the time he gets a touch, there's somebody deep on him.
Yeah.
But John, when you think last season, Graham, go on.
If you're an opposition manager, you only need to watch Borough 2 or 3 times to realise that the spaces we vacate in the middle of that park are so obvious. You don't even have to be an half-decent player to exploit us. You know, you just got to sit in that area and take the ball off us. It's like taking candy off a baby when Ballas has got the ball. So bad. Honestly, it's criminal. I can't believe the Carrick seeing this and thinking, it's fine. Because he used to play like that, but he was a bloody good player. He could actually pop it off and go for the return ball and pick a pass out. Ballas is just ponderous. I don't want to hang him out to dry, but I think he's a massive, massive catalyst for us going south. I really do.
I totally agree with you.
You're right.
I was literally just going to say there, I have no idea how Ballas keeps getting in that team. Whether we've got injuries or not, I tell you what I'd do. I'd move McGree back into centre midfield, play Azaz behind the forward. No, Ballas should not be getting game time. There's no way he should start on Wednesday.
I'm just going to say, lads, what is the point of playing out from the back? The whole point of playing out from the back is to beat the press. So you end up passing it quickly to have the extra man available to break onto the opposition team in numbers, right? And we've done that a lot last season and fantastically well and scored some great goals with Zach Steffen and the players we had with pace and ability like Zichuba and Ramsey. And the rest, and it worked great. And last season, even when we were doing it really well, there was a few nervy moments, but we didn't really get caught out by it because we had the talent to pull it off. But this season, we're trying to do the same thing with inferior players who don't have the pace, don't have the ability, right? But also, I might be mad here, but when was the last time Middlesbrough actually beat the press and scored a goal? So it's not like, it's not like, you know, we're making mistakes with ballasts and getting caught out here and there and we're panicking, but every now and again we're breaking the press and it's been really good and we're broke on teams and scored goals. I would love to know the statistic. I don't know this, by the way, which is unlike me. How many times have Middlesbrough, from the goalkeeper this season, how many times have they, from the goalkeeper, broke, beat the press and scored a goal? I'll be amazed.
I can't answer that.
Jack, I think Jacko can. He's got his hands in the air. Go on,
Jacko.
Chelsea at home. They pressed us back. Ballas flipped the ball to the top. Jones ran through. We squared it. We scored. There you go.
Right. Great. So that was in the cup, right? And I'll take it all day long. But I don't think we've scored, can't be more than two or three goals all season by beating the press. And it's just not working. We're knocking the ball into players who aren't comfortable to do the job. They're not good enough to do the job. I mean, that we'll go on to it. You know, the mistake between Barlasa and Dieng, that was nothing to do with Dieng. It was we've done that for under Zach Steffen and Glover and Dieng. It's a simple ball into Housen or Hackney or Barlasa, and that player knows fine well he's going to pop the ball off to, which was on Saturday, Vandenberg.
It was Vandenberg. Yeah.
And then Vandenberg plays it forward. You try and beat the press and you break on teams. So what the hell was Barlasa doing, turning into trouble without even looking and losing the ball? He knows what the drill is. They do the drill a million times in training, and they've done it all season and last season, and he's been part of that. So I don't understand what they're trying to do. It looks like they don't know what they're doing on the pitch anymore. This isn't working. It hasn't worked for months now. We're not getting, even if we beat the press between the defenders, say, right, just say it comes off and we actually beat the press, what do you need to then go on and score a goal? You need pace, you need width, you need creativity, and you need talent. We've got none of that at the moment. Mm-hmm. Now, you just mentioned Jacko. The last time we've done it was against Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was the outlet? Isaiah Jones. We don't have Isaiah Jones. So why are we trying to play that way when we don't have the players? 30,000 people can't be wrong. And 30,000 people are watching Middlesbrough and turning up home and away watching Middlesbrough, all seeing what we are seeing on this podcast tonight. And I'm sorry, I don't care if you're Michael Carrick and you played for England, or you're Jonathan Woodgate and you played for Real Madrid. 30,000 people can't be wrong.
Well, the thing is, you mentioned the fact that we haven't scored many goals from our playing from the back, but we've conceded a boatload. That's the most telling statistic.
100%,
We've conceded
one goal.
And like I said,
we've conceded.
We're finding ourselves behind in most games, and it just makes the mountain taller. You know. Yeah,
we're giving teams a two-goal start,
well,
in effect, aren't we?
Yeah. You can
tell my head was fried on Sunday, absolutely fried on Sunday, because I was just thinking, how have we gone from a team that was half a dozen points off the playoffs, 1-0 up in going into the second leg of a cup semi-final, and we're now looking over our shoulder. It's been a catastrophic fall.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting as you're discussing about keeping clean sheets. In the last 3 hours of football, we've had two shots on target.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So even if we keep a clean sheet on Wednesday against Norwich, what's the best we're going to hope for? 0-0. Jack O mentioned earlier, is it too early to mention a relegation battle? Absolutely not. Two shots on target in 3 hours of football. If anyone doesn't think we're in a relegation battle, you want to give your head a shake, because we definitely are.
You can't see it changing, can you?
Where are the goals coming
from?
There's
no impetus or drive through the team. There's no willingness to want to get a win.
When we had Kieran on,
everything's all a bit passive. And
when we had Kieran on the pod the other week, and he said there was no one particularly available that suited the club that was better than what we have. God knows what was available then. Because if there was nobody to come in and give us goal, if we go down, it'll be the biggest mistake this club's made for 20, 30 years. Brutal.
I think we'll be okay personally. I said at the start of the show there, I still think we're not quite in a relegation battle yet. You've got to remember these teams down there are down there for a reason. And we've got a 6-point gap on them at the moment. We've got far superior goal difference to them, which is another point. We've got a game in hand on them. And we've still got Isaiah Jones, Johnny Howson, Dale Fry, Hayden Hackney, possibly Daryl Lenehan to come back before the end of the season. So I know it's not great, and it's not. I'm not trying to play the optimistic card. I'm just being honest, as I was at the start of the season when I said I thought Middlesbrough would have a job to make the playoffs, and as I was in January when I said if we don't sign a striker, we won't make the playoffs. I'm going to say now that I don't think Middlesbrough will be near the relegation zone come the end of the season because of the reasons I've just stated.
You don't think we'll be near it?
No, I think we'll be okay.
I don't think we'll go down, but I think we're going to be near it.
Don't get us wrong. That doesn't disguise what's gone on at the club on and off the pitch, which has been poor. I'm not trying to disguise anything. This season hasn't been... There's been a disaster, which has been covered by a great cup run for me. However, I think come the end of the season, we'll pull away and we'll be fine in terms of we won't be involved in any relegation battle because I do think we've got more quality in the bottom teams, more points in the bottom teams, better goal difference in the bottom teams. But that scant consolation to the Middlesbrough supporters who, in my opinion, were sold a bit of a dud in the summer with aspirations of pushing certainly for the top six on the back of a fabulous season last season, fabulous football. I think we've been sold a little bit of a dud.
Sometimes it's about spirit in the team and the fight. Bandy mentioned it earlier. He wants to see, if we're going to pick up silly cards in midfield, pick up a card for going through somebody, letting them know that they're in a game.
Capable of going through somebody, you know, maybe Lewis O'Brien, but the rest are just, as I say, they're too passive. They're a bit wispy. They don't really, the fringy players. There's no dominance there. There's no authority. There's no one dishing out a bollocking. It's all arms in the air when we concede a goal. There's no one pointing, saying, you get this and do this and do that.
And this is why,
honestly.
And this is why
the manager doesn't even do it.
When you talked about earlier about Vandenberg being captain, last week on this pod and weeks before, I've mentioned about us not having a leader. If an 18-year-old lad, right, this is no disrespect to him, is going to be the captain, it shows you everything about that squad, that there's no leaders. Housen's a leader by example. There's no one who's a shouter. Fair play to Vandenberg. And if he's the best man for the job to be the captain, I'm all for it. But it shows what we're massively lacking in this squad.
Do you remember the last time a manager made a teenager captain?
Was it...
Jonathan Woodgate made Jonathan Woodgate made Dale Fry captain at Bristol City. There's a stat for you.
Well, he's not a leader either.
Have you got your glasses on, Steve?
Don't need glasses, me, mate.
It's glasses when you give us stats. You've got to put your glasses on.
Can I go back
to Saturday? It's the first goal.
Of course.
Before then, you know, both teams had half chances. But the first goal, 41 minutes, whatever. Luke Ayling badly misjudged a ball in the middle. It bounced over his head. And then, again, he tried to win the ball back and he bounced off the player. That was absolutely pathetic. And the guy goes and puts it in the bottom corner. Now, it was a terrible goal to concede. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? If Ayrton thought he was at fault, then bring the guy down. Just, you know... The attempt to win the ball back was disgraceful, really. He's a seasoned pro. He's well known for his housery, as people call it. Well, do you know what? I don't want to see you laughing and smiling. I do when we're 3 or 4 goals up, but not when we're behind in a game. I don't like all this. I wanted to see him stop that first goal. He made a bollock, missing the header. Well, then bring the player down and take a card, but just stop the goal. He didn't do it.
Paul Lassa was there as well. Had an opportunity. Paul Lassa was covering. Didn't do enough. Just fell over.
Noggin.
I mean, Paul Lassa, you know, how sad is it that as Middlesbrough supporters, we're looking at a 36-year-old in May, come May, 36, Johnny Howson. We're all desperate for him to come back into that side. Bar Lassa has had chance after chance after chance to stake his claim ahead of Johnny Howson. And I'm sorry, Johnny Howson could be 40 and he'd be a better player than him. it's a fact. I mean, I don't understand what he does. I really don't.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what he does. He doesn't do anything good, and he gives the ball constantly to the opposition. I saw someone called him yesterday Dan Bad Passer, and that is absolutely perfect. I've been saying it for months since he came in. He's not shown me anything. Not a thing.
Well, we're having a go at players because we're all a bit angry tonight about Saturday's performance.
I'm all right.
That's what we're here for.
Who wants to call out Terry Thomas's performance at fullback? Because that's who may as well have been playing there. Dear me.
Well,
more like Terry Tate.
You know, exactly. Remember when we signed him and you said he hadn't come he'd come to start games.
Yeah,
not
100%.
Not fiddle to Engel. I'm still a bit angry at the way Engel's been treated. As bad as we've been most of the season, I do think he was steadily improving, and he does show some balls on the pitch, whether or not he makes a mistake or not. He tries to rectify it quickly. If he loses it, he gets back. He'll put a tackle in when he needs to. He does try and get forward. He can whip in a decent cross. He shows a lot more for me than Thomas. I mean, he looks like he's a kid who's won a competition. I'm scratching my head thinking, what's he doing?
How many crosses did he put in the box on Saturday? How many crosses did Aylin put in the box on Saturday? They're there for a reason, to get forward and join in attacks and get crosses in the box.
So I think a three at the back would suit the fullbacks or wingbacks, whatever you want to call them, because there's not the propensity to get back quicker isn't there. They can then bomb on freely a little bit more because you've got a bit more cover. So Clark's got to play every time. I think he's a good defender in a three. In a four, he's having to overcompensate for people dropping out of position. So I do think our fullbacks perform better when they're given license to push on, because they're not really defending fullbacks, are they?
So who plays?
They weren't last season either. We had Giles bombing on. Hence, Giles not playing for Luton because he can't defend.
So the
fullbacks we've got are opposition third players as opposed to sitting in with us and actually defending.
So who would be your preferred three? Because when Wilder was here, Fry wasn't great in a three.
No, I don't rate Fry. I'd have Clark, Vanderberg, and
Paddy.
Yeah.
You're probably looking at Paddy. So you've got Clark as a natural left footer on the left. You've got Vanderberg sat central. And you've got Paddy, Mr. Right Foot, on the right.
I'm glad you said that. I
agree
with you.
They're square pegs in square holes. And you've got... I prefer Aylin because of his work rate. Honestly, he was... Are we allowed to swear?
No.
He was right. Okay. Rhymes with Barry White on Saturday, right? He was terrible. Worst game I've ever seen him play. But in his defence, I don't think he's been too bad. He's caught wanting at times because his fitness isn't there. But at least he's trying. He's pulling a leg. Saturday was all over the show. Left back, left back in the changing rooms for me. Terrible. Get Engel back in there. Proper player.
Barry White.
And then Barry White. But Barry White,
love machine.
It is like what you said earlier, Bandy. It seems there's three or four changes every game, and it can't be settling for the players. You know, it's got to be troublesome for them, you know, to know exactly what their role is when there's so much personnel change.
I have to say, I slightly disagree with Bandy, which doesn't happen very often. But, and I know John Cutler knows what I'm going to say. I do like Dale Fry, and I know he has some terrible performances and stuff, but I don't think it's any coincidence that Middlesbrough's form is slumping since Dale Fry has come out the side, along with Isaiah Jones, along with Hayden Hackney, and along with Johnny Howson. I like to see the big lighthouse in our side. I think he gives us height, both defensively and offensively. And I like
offensively.
Dale Fry.
When was the last time he ever scored a goal?
No, but he's a big unit going forward. He's a presence for corners and set pieces. I've watched Dale Fry play against the best and put them in his back pocket. I think Dale Fry is still, on his day, a decent centre-half at championship level. And I would rather see Dale Fry playing in a three in the centre of a Paddy McNair and a Rav Vandenberg. Paddy McNair played on the left under Wilder in a three really successfully, even though he's right footer, he was excellent on the left. So I would go McNair on the left. Vandenberg has been superb. I'd have him on the right. And Dale Fry, for me, is a better player than Clark, who gives 100% and gets stuck in and understand why fans like him, because they think he's 100% there. But I think Dale Fry's got more quality in presence than a Matt Clark, if I'm being brutally honest. And I would like to see Dale Fry come back into our team. I would have Dijksteel ahead of Aylin for two reasons. I think he's a better player than Aylin now. I think Aylin's finished. His legs have gone. And secondly, Dijksteel at the moment is a Middlesbrough player. Luke Aylin, to me, has come for a few quid to see his days out, and he'll not be here next season. And I do agree that obviously Engel should be starting every game at left back. But that's it. That's what I would like to see from now at the end of the season if we had the pick of the defenders.
Someone's come in and said, never mind Barry White, Barlasser is Eartha Kitt.
I was just going to say it perfect.
Oh, man. Oh, what have you started, Bandy? Oh, superb.
All banter.
It is all banter. You're absolutely right. You know.
Just for the record, I hope his mum's not listening tonight, though.
We kid ourselves thinking it's great because it's not.
It's not.
Honestly, it's so bad at the moment.
Exactly.
We've got to keep a clean sheet Wednesday. That's my starting point. We've got to keep a clean sheet Wednesday. If it's a 0-0 draw, do you know what? I'll take it. We need points on the board.
Yeah. John, sorry, again, what system do you think would enable us to keep a clean sheet? Would you be a strong candidate for going a back three just to be solid and allow them onto us and try and break on them? Or we take them on at their own game? Have you seen Norwich's last six results?
Yeah.
One, drawn, one, 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 one. The seventh, 1 point behind playoffs. They've scored 14 goals, 10 of them away from home. Their last away games, they've won at Bristol City, they've won at Huddersfield, they've won at QPR, and they've drawn at Southampton. They've got two strikers in double figures.
True at Blackburn as well, didn't they?
They're going to come, and they're going to absolutely want to fill the boots. So we have to pack that midfield, because they'll have a...
Bandy.
They'll just be strolling around having a day out. And
if we're as open as we have been and lose possession of the ball in... or around the edge of our 18-yard box, we're going to be beaten. You know, we've got to have solidity. You know, we can't come away on Wednesday losing that game, but we just can't. And like I say, I will take 0-0. People might say that's ridiculous. No, I'm sorry, that's my thoughts. I would take 0-0 now, get another point on the board. Until we get ourselves clear.
Totally agree.
One clean sheet this year.
I'd try and mix it up and use Lath's pace. Maybe to pump the ball over the top. I'm not
exactly,
a strong advocate for football, but you've got to use what you have at your disposal to get the best result. And I'm not sure Carrick sees it like that. He's got this ideology. He waves this magic wand and it's all going to come right. It isn't.
We broke we're with pace.
We're in the clat and we need to get out of it quickly before it just catches up with us.
We broke with pace at Leicester. We scored two and missed another two. You know, we can hit teams on the counter, but we've just got to stop. We've got to stop conceding goals.
The only chance we had on Saturday,
and you can push your fullbacks high up into the opposition half. You can play like that. It's not negative. It's not 4-5-1 that Aitor used to play or Robbo when we were getting panned every week. It's positive football if you just play a low block and then get out quick.
The only chance we had on Saturday, Bandy, on Saturday, the only chance we had of note What was it? It was a ball over the top into Latila, who got him behind him, a long ball over the top into Latila.
Yeah, it was cleared up, cleared up.
Rounds the goalkeeper, cleared off the line. That was the only time we tried it in the whole game.
Thomas did get away, to his credit. He got away once, got up the pitch, squared it across, and Riley took a duff touch. Keeper got it. If we'd have scored that, you're thinking, hey, oh, we've scored early. Confidence is up. You just don't know what's going to happen. But again, we're too soft. We let teams comfortably back into the game. How many times have you seen us actually score and then 2 minutes later we're level or we're 2-1 down? So
scoring first in the championship is massive. It's massive scoring first in the championship. The first goal is huge, certainly at home, because if you score the first goal at home, teams have got to generally change their formation and they can't just sit in and hope to catch you on the counter. But Middlesbrough don't score the first goal very often, and that's the Achilles heel this season. We'll always go behind. It's criminal. We should have taken the lead at Stoke, you know, and we didn't, and we paid the price. We've got to learn to be tactically better, be stronger, set up better, harder to beat, like you say. But let's try and score the first goal. Give ourselves a chance, a foothold in the game. Look at Leicester. We scored first, and look how that transformed the game at Leicester, who were the best team in the league, who are probably going to win the league. But because Middlesbrough scored first, we went on and won the game. But we don't do it enough.
What's Lat's strength? What's Lat's strength?
Pace.
It's his pace, yeah. So
he's absolute lightning, so use it.
Yeah. So like we said, yeah, knock it over the top from the keeper if needs be. From midfield, knock it over the top and get him onto it. Just let him cause some problems.
You're on about the Man City Man U game, John. Man United goal. They went long over the top because City pushed the defence right up. So they went over the top. Fernandez took a great touch, held it up, squared it in, and Rashford's put it top corner. I'm not saying we're capable of that, but sometimes you've got to look at the opposition and think, okay, how can we combat these guys and get through them? Norwich are going to win tomorrow. They're not going to sit back. So,
and sometimes you've got to look at the pressure. You've got to look at the strengths of your players and play to that. And exactly. Lath is quick. Lath is quick. He's awkward. He scraps. He battles. Yeah, give him a chance.
How many managers have come to our club to rescue us? So you look at Venables, look at Warnock, you look at Pulis. You wouldn't class them, maybe possibly Venables aside, you wouldn't class them as sort of managers who like to play flowing, beautiful football, you know, that the purists of the game admire. But, you know, for all the critics, they know how to get a result when it's needed, when we're in the brown stuff. So,
I think... You made a great point there about Venables, Graham, though. Carrick. You're on about Venables there, Graham. Venables was a tactically superb manager who liked to play the beautiful game. But he wasn't so too obsessed with himself in terms of what was best for the team. When he came to Middlesbrough in the relegation battle, he didn't continue to try and play the beautiful game and play it the Terry Venables way. He came, realised the situation we're in and changed it. And I think we did play with a back five when he came in, with the wing backs, with Dean Gordon and stuff. And we got results. So I think we beat Chelsea 1-0 in his first game, and we're tight and we're difficult to beat. And he kept it up. Now, if Venables had stayed on, which we wish he had, I'm sure the next season he would have changed his style and went back to the beautiful football that he likes to play. Now, Michael Carrick needs to take that advice. We're happy for you to play a beautiful football, Michael, but not at the moment. Change your tactics, show your flexibility, learn as a manager, read the room, what's needed now, and then next season with different personnel and different players, we can go back to the Michael Carrick way. He needs to take, you know, a step back and assess the situation, because like I keep saying, everybody can't be wrong. It's glaring.
You know that run we went on, 7 games unbeaten. 7 straight wins, wasn't it? Josh Coburn played every game. So we had a focal point. We had somebody to hit. We had somebody to hold the ball up. And then you can get your midfield up to support. I know, is he injured now?
Yeah, he's injured. Yeah. He's another one on the injury list.
Was that on camera?
So if he was available, we might have seen some slightly different results. But at the moment, he's unavailable. We've got one striker back, so we've got to try and utilise him to the best of his ability.
We've got so much to fit in the last 7 minutes, by the way.
Oh, that's great, this.
Going over the top.
I know. I plan to spend half an hour on Leicester. We've done 51 minutes. Oh, well, never mind.
Well, Stoke,
yeah. See, it was that bad? I don't even remember it. Actually, to be fair.
Switched off.
I did switch off, to be fair.
He was asleep there. That's why I put him on camera.
To be fair, I left after 70 minutes, to be fair, so it says it all, really. But, yeah, it wasn't... To sum it up, it wasn't great. It wasn't great. And a bit of a stat, Jason's been in touch with me. He won't sit in that chair, but he'll chat with me while we're on. Obviously, you mentioned there, you know, the teams are down there for a reason. You know how many points we've got off them bottom three this season?
Exactly.
Two. Two. We include the bottom four? Five. Sorry, six. Six.
We're heading down that way.
I think, is it three of the top five to play?
Yep.
And then we've got some massive games. Sheffield Wednesday, Swansea, there won't be a pushover down there either.
We've still got to go to Hull. We've still got to go to Southampton. We've still got to go to Ipswich. We've still got to go to Cardiff.
Leeds at home.
We've still got Leeds to come here. We've got Norwich on Wednesday.
The one thing I will say,
wow,
this is when I know that the performances are really, really poor, mm-hmm. but the next 2.5 months for this football club is massive.
Yeah.
We need to get behind them as much as we possibly can. If you're going to boo, mm-hmm. fair enough, boo at the end of the game, but during them 90 minutes, we need to give... Because half of these players aren't going to be here next season,
no.
but we're going to be watching, potentially, League One football. I don't want to do that.
I'm not paying 500 quid for League One football.
I just want the fans to give everything they can to... Not for the players, for the football club. And I'm sure that will happen.
You know, that could go...
Well, we've had an hour of event now explaining on the border. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll go in that ground on Wednesday and I'll give everything to shout
exactly,
the team
John.
On.
Same. This is the place to discuss stuff like this. On Twitter or whatever, or down the pub with your mates. But at the match, just give constructive criticism. Just get behind the team. And see what happens, and then whinge all you want after the game.
Yeah,
you know that cagoule.
Make sure you're there.
That
the
cagoule on. You went full on Liam Gallagher then, didn't you? Like proper into it there, weren't you? But I didn't endorse that. I'm not going to ask for your man in the matches because there wasn't one. I'm sorry, but there wasn't one. It was an absolute disgrace. It was. I labelled it the worst I've seen Bury in years. And I wasn't exaggerating, I really wasn't. It was that bad. I know you saw 70 minutes of it, and pretty much most of that I was with one eye because I couldn't quite see right. But it wasn't great.
I think a telling thing as well, some of the local press reporters
mm-hmm.
who generally aren't overly critical, some of the things they were writing.
Well, Craig Johnson, if you thought the second half couldn't get any worse, well.
You know what I mean? You know, you can't polish your turd.
God, no, you can't polish an Eartha kit. Right, anyway, we'll move on. Because we've got loads of prizes and stuff and all sorts to look through and...
Have we got a
trick? Over to you, Dicko.
Have we got a trick?
Yes, first one, I'm going to come to you, Dicko. Because obviously you went to the 20th anniversary get-together on Thursday night.
Thursday, yeah.
And you brought back some goodies. Feel yeah. free, you are on camera. Have fun.
I was fortunate enough to be invited by Yvonne Ferguson in the middle of my football club as a guest. It was a fabulous night. I know there was different press reports and things on Twitter about who wasn't there and who should have been there, but it was actually a great night and well organised. Had a fantastic time.
Did you ask Nemeth if he's still got his boots?
I didn't know. I should have asked him if he still had caps because I remember he used to have Nemeth caps in the club shop, which I never understood why. But that was a bizarre one. Zillard Nemeth caps in the club shop. Can anybody remember that?
No.
It was a bizarre thing. Anyway, mm-hmm. I don't know why. So I went there and I took the opportunity. I thought for all our listeners and people who back this podcast, I'll see what I can do, what I can get and bring back. So I got a couple of goodies. So what we're going to do is, we're going to post the link. Jacko is going to post the link on the Facebook Live. We're going to post some links on Facebook. Post links on X or Twitter, where you can go on and try and win a prize. There's various things you can do to win the prizes, which you'll see if you click the link. All I would say to you is, please put your name on. So we're going to run it until 2 weeks tonight. In 2 weeks tonight, I'll come on here and I'll do the prize draw for two prizes live and get the names read out, so you know who's won live on the 12th Man podcast in 2 weeks today. So first prize, I'll just grab it. I don't know if you can see it or not.
Diggle, while you're preparing it, please do the drawing the style of Rod Stewart. I'd love you to do it like that.
So this,
that's the one.
I'll pay good money for that.
Yeah, right. Sorry, mate. You take it away.
Ready? I'll go. So the first prize is, I don't know if I can see it.
Oh, yeah, all in front of you.
Yeah, I've got that, yeah.
Yeah, which is
nice.
A replica Carling Cup final winning shirt from Middlesbrough's club shop. And it's signed by Macaroni, Stuart Downing, Frank Widrew, George Boateng, Bolo Zenden, Zelad Nemeth, and most importantly, England manager Gareth Southgate. So it's a fantastic prize to win, to be fair. It was actually the biggest prize to win on the night, on Thursday night. They'd done a raffle at the dinner, and that was the main prize to win. So I've got the main prize for yous to try and get. So that's your first prize. But I got a bonus prize for second place, which is the Carling Cup 20th anniversary celebration official programme from the night on Thursday night. And on the back, as you can see, or not there, as you can see, it's signed by all those players as well. Macaroni, Downing, Quadru, Boateng, Zenden, Nemeth and Gareth Southgate have all signed it. So they're two fantastic prizes for any Middlesbrough supporter to have. So please, after the podcast, have a look at the links. You'll see it's quite easy to do. And most importantly, anything that's made from this, the proceeds will all go to the Middlesbrough Food Bank, mm-hmm. which is a charity really close to all our hearts on here. It's a fabulous cause. So remember that when you click on the link, that anything that's given will go to the Middlesbrough Food Bank.
There's various options on there as well. It's like one ticket for £3, two tickets for £5. The more tickets you get, the cheaper it is. But yeah, like
the said, the more chance you've got of winning as well, because each, you know, you'll have more entries into the draw, so it gives you more chance of winning the prizes.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Fair play, Dicko. Well done.
Yeah, well done.
Well done.
That's quality.
And yes, anyone can enter, because the two in the studio here have entered. I don't care. I want them. So yes, we've donated. We've kindly done it.
It is going to be a random generator, by the way. It's not actually Dicko picking a hot ball out like the FA Cup.
Having all
the big teams at home. He's not going to go in and go, "Yep, Cutter's won." Yeah. I hope he does, but that's not going to happen.
I didn't think I'd be talking about Dicko touching hot balls, but we are. So there you go. And then to go with that, our guest Bandy has kindly just sent me another print, because no one's won the first one yet. Do you know that? No one's won it. So I'm going to give away two prints. So Bandy's drawn his latest masterpiece, which if you go on his website, if you go on X, you're seeing it's a beautiful portrait of the Riverside. He's kindly sent me another one. Thank you. We're going to give them to two people that'll predict some scores, right? Because, well, we've done that so far this season, apart from two goals, so we can't win that one.
Yeah, another nice gesture. Well done, Bandy.
So, yeah, well done, Bandy. And so just to clarify, so John doesn't get confused, what sizes do they come in?
A4 or A3.
There we go. Clarified and done. And promote your website for us.
GrahamBandira.co.uk.
There you go. Get yourself on there. He's preparing 2025's calendar already. Can't start.
Who did you see score in the first goal, Graham?
He hasn't said it yet. We haven't done the predictions yet. He was too talk for 50 minutes. So speaking of that,
have you been drinking what Rod Stewart was drinking?
We'll actually move on to the Norwich game. Speaking of that, so I'm going to go for.
You say anything, I'm not going to ask you what formation you go, because we're all going to go for a five now, because it has to be done, right? And John's right. If we get a 0-0, happy days, job done. We've stopped the rot. Go.
Right, we've had two shots on target in 3 hours of football. Latte laugh, 3-1.
Ladies and gentlemen, Liam Gallagher. Wow, what is that?
Jackwell?
1-0.
Scorer?
I'm going to go Rav. Rav Vandenberg, 1-0.
In Norwich?
JD?
What? No.
All right.
1-0 to Borough. Barry White, edge of the box.
Barlasser getting there.
Are you really going for Barlasser?
No.
It's going to happen now. You can't do that.
No, I'm going for Finn Azaz.
Oh, Zinedine. Go on then.
Bandy?
This is tricky now because you've all gone for a positive result.
Just go for what you think.
You go for what you want.
Yeah, I think we'll lose 2-0 because I don't think you'll change the system. I think he's that headstrong now that he's just going to go with it.
Who asked you? Well, come on.
See if it'll turn around. So 2-0 Norwich.
Do you know enough about Norwich to pick any time goal scorer?
Yeah, Rowe up front. He's the one with. He's got 13 goals and Sargent's got 11.
Wouldn't surprise me if Ashley Barnes scored. Dick,
I'll go 1-1. Okay. Terry Thomas. No, I'll go 1-1. Latia Lath.
Okay. And for Saturday, QPR.
I'm going to go for McGree, 2-1. Jacko?
I'm doing a bandy. 2-1 QPR. I just can't see it.
Who's going to be your anytime goal scorer?
Sam Greenwood, because he'll play him. I know he will.
JD?
1-0 Borough. Finn Azaz again.
That's going to be some week for Azaz, isn't it?
Well, do you know, he scored 2 on the bounce not too long ago, so I'm going for it.
Bandy?
I think after tomorrow night's defeat, he'll
don't turn up tomorrow, by the way. That's twice you've said that. Please don't turn up tomorrow.
Yeah, we play Wednesday.
Sorry, Wednesday. Yeah, he'll panic after Wednesday and then he'll switch it to a back three down at QPR and we'll get a point. So it'll be 1-1 and Riley will come up with the goods.
Okay.
Dicko?
Wow. I'm going to try and be positive,
Just be honest. Positive.
I like to go with my heart rather than my head, because if I went with my head, it would probably be in the bottom three. So I'll go with my heart, and I always like to be positive that way. So I'll go 2-1 Middlesbrough, and I'll go Riley McGree will score.
Okay.
Same. What size are those sprints again, Bandy?
So same as me again. Same as me. Do you want to choose something else?
Choose another scorer. Who's going to score the second one? Cutler's got 2-1 McGree.
Ah, okay. Right.
So he'll score one. So McGree's... Yeah, Barry White. And McGree's going to score one. Who's going to score the second?
I'll go Marcus Force.
There you go. Would you like it all down?
All done.
There we go. Independent adjudicator has checked it and has verified it, so we're fine. So there you go. I'll put the pictures of the prints to win. Please shot your, predictions onto... X onto our Facebook page, our YouTube page. There's the prize again. No, he's gone. There he is. There's the prize again, the signed shirt that I'm winning. Can't wait to get that. yeah, that's it for us. All done. Finished. Finito. Boys on Zoom, all three of you, thank you very much for popping on. Bandy, absolute pleasure as always. I'll see you on Wednesday.
Good lad.
I'll see you two Wednesday as well. John will keep me singing for 90 minutes because he won't let me not sing, so it'll be fine. He'll keep us going. And thank you for popping in.
pleasure as always.
Yep. And thank you for listening. Thank you for commenting, subscribing. There were so many comments tonight. I was trying to get through them. I really, really was. But these three kept talking for 50 minutes. So blame them. I'm really sorry. but it was a good chat. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you liked it. And yeah, subscribe to all our pages. You know, more and more of you are getting involved. So, you know, I mean, if you want to come on, drop us a message. Feel free. You know, we're not a closed forum. Get yourself on. Have a chat with us. Could be fun. You know. Yeah.
No swearing.
No swearing though. Yeah, I've been told off of that. So yeah, no swearing. So yeah, that's it. Job done. Finished. I'll chat to you during the week, and I'll see you next week. Hopefully with two wins. Hopefully. But if not, more negativity coming. Up the Borough.
Up the Borough.
Up the Borough.
All the best, boys. Borough. Thanks a lot. Ta-da.
Don't forget, back the Middlesbrough Food Bank.